Can hear me really good. I like this.
Yeah. I like this. I'm home.
Yeah.
Made it. Aloha. Yeah, that's right. I tell you, I like not to come back. It was so good. It was just so good and so beautiful. And I got to spend time with Pastor Adam and Wendy and some of you have seen the pictures on Facebook. The Kauai chickens are hilarious. They are just, there was one that walked by me while we were out eating one day, and he was posing. I am not kidding. He was posing. He would not walk away until I took his picture. He is working the tourist industry, I'm here to tell you. But it was a blessed time. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for your love, your prayers, for the time. It has been a gift. I felt so good when I got back. Yeah, I'm just grateful to the Lord. This is a little awkward this morning because I had been working on one message, and then at 6 a.m. this morning, I got another one. How many of you have ever had that happen? Anybody who has ever preached has had that happen. You've had that happen. So assuming that God knows what he's doing, and that's always a safe assumption, I am going to go with God. So your prayers are greatly appreciated. It feels so good to be in God's house, to be with God's people. I missed you guys. I really did. I missed seeing my FWC family, so I'm very glad to be home. While I was there, there was a consistent theme that kept arising while I was on vacation. And that theme was out of Psalm 23. Now, I may have told this to some of you. I don't know how many I've shared this with, but the 23rd Psalm is the first bit of scripture that I ever memorized. And I didn't commit it to memory by reading, because I think I was maybe 3.5 or 4 at the time. But my grandmother used to regularly pray that psalm. It's a wonderful thing to pray the scripture. If you haven't tried that, try that. It changes. And she taught it to me as a prayer. And so it was the first bit of scripture I ever committed to memory. I remember when she was sick and in the hospital, and all the aunts and the uncles and great grandma show up. Grandma would call me from a different room. Kid, come say the 23rd Psalm for your aunt Dutch, your uncle Sweet, your uncle whatever aunt or uncle was in the. I was hiding under the bed before it was all over. So I don't want to say this again. But while I was there, the Lord reminded me that this was not just the first bit of scripture that I committed to memory. But it was the first promise that he ever made me. As a little bitty girl, before I ever understood the dynamics of coming to personal salvation in Christ, it was the first promise he ever made me. It was the promise that he gave to my mother and my grandmother before me. And so when I woke up this morning, this psalm was in my spirit. And so I'm here this morning to testify, if you will. I'm going to testify of the goodness and mercy of my God. I'm reading from Psalm 23. Some of you may know this by heart. I'm reading it from the NIV. It is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 6 verses. 6 very familiar verses. So I want to talk to you this morning as I testify. Let's talk about what it means for the Lord to be your shepherd. I wanted you to think for just a minute about all of the self-help gurus you have ever encountered, either by way of Oprah or an infomercial or, you know, pick one, just one. I think most immediately of Tony Roberts, right? What's his name? Robbins? Whatever, same thing. Okay. If good brother Robbins walked into this door right now and said to you, I want you for 1 year to allow me to run every single aspect of your life in order to guarantee your ultimate success. What do you say?
I want to know a little bit more about Tony Robbins before.
Yeah, because he looks a little creepy, doesn't he? Okay, maybe not Tony. Let's see, who else? Who else? Really? Oh. T.D. Jakes, Bishop. What if Bishop walked in here right now with that wonderful booming voice of his? You've seen him. And said to you, Pastor Brad, will you let me run your life for 1 whole year? Will you do everything I tell you to do?
Maybe not.
Maybe not? Why not?
I don't know the man.
You don't?
I've heard of him. I've seen him on TV. Like, I've heard the booming voice.
But you don't know the man. If Jesus were to, does he know you? If Jesus physically walked into this room right now and said to you, will you trust me with your life? What would you say? Now, why yes? Well, we all know why yes to Jesus. It would be a silly question to ask why yes to Jesus. David declared that the Lord is my shepherd, my manager, my owner. He is the one who handles me. What qualifies him to step into that position? Well, once more and again, a silly question. Number one, he is qualified because he is Creator God. He is the God who formed you from your mother's womb and put breath into your body, breathed into you and made you a living soul. He is not just Creator, but he is Redeemer God. When our first parents made the decision to rebel, I'm going to run this planet all on my own, I don't need God to do it. He didn't leave us in that state. He steps in and he redeems. Jesus describes himself in John chapter 10 as the good shepherd. What makes him a good shepherd over and against a bad shepherd, or worse, a hired hand? See, a good shepherd is invested, right? The sheep belong to him. He has ownership of them. It matters to him what happens to them. And as a result, Jesus says that the sheep do what?
His voice.
They know my voice. No, you're not going to come in and let Tony Robbins or even Bishop Jakes come in here and run your life because you don't know them. You know of them. You have seen them in their public persona, but you are not intimately acquainted with either of those gentlemen. But the Lord, that's a different matter altogether. He didn't have to, but he has earned the right to be shepherd over every soul in this place. Amen?
Amen.
So David testified of him that he is my shepherd. And as a result of him being my shepherd, I lack nothing. See, the formula for, I don't even want to say this because it's not about success. But were you looking for a formula for success, quote unquote? Here it is. It is God's absolute sovereignty plus yours and mine total submission to that sovereignty that puts us in a place of living a life in which all we need is found in him. We lack nothing. We lack nothing because God is in charge and because God provides. We lack nothing. So think about, because I listen to this from young people all the time who are always talking about how inadequate they feel. You know, they're all inadequate and they're, oh, I don't feel worthy. Well, you're not, so get over yourself. Let's push past that right now, okay? You're right, you're not worthy, and he called you anyway. He loves you, period. And he's going to use you for his glory. So let's get over ourselves and not compound our unworthiness with the sin of disobedience and do as he asks. It is the Lord who is my shepherd. I lack nothing. His sovereignty, my submission that results or bears the fruit of a life in which all I need is found in him. What are those needs? Well, first of all, provision. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. If you know anything about sheep, well, we know something about sheep. Number one, they're not very smart. Number two, they're pretty helpless. You know, the metaphor is very intentional. You know, they need a lot of help, not unlike us. I think one of my favorite, those of you who are on Facebook, you probably saw the video. One of my favorite parts of this trip, moments in this trip to Kauai, was one day Wendy and I were coming from Wailua State Park. And on the drive, we passed a field, and there were sheep grazing in the field. And us being shepherds, we had to stop and say hi to the sheep. All excited, so we got out by the fence. Now, they were way out there, and they're grazing somewhere around this kind of brown area. You could tell they had grazed just a little bit too much. And we stood at the fence and kind of waved at them and watched them, and all of a sudden they picked their little heads up and they began to form a line, single file, and they began to walk single file toward the fence. You know, we were like, oh, this is so late, you know. And so I got video and what have you, and they came and they stopped and I said, hi guys, and they said, bah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so excited. Who knew I would ever love sheep this much? No, I was, yes, I was. I came home, told my cat about it. She thought it was funny. Just so you know. I was, yeah, and Wendy and I are. We're standing there, we're talking to sheep, and we're having the time of their lives. And they had left this brown area, and then when they came over by us, it just happened that the grass there was much more lush, much more green. So I guess they just needed a little direction. to feed where it was lush and green instead of out there in the bare paddocks. But there is provision. Sheep need greenery because that's what they do all day. They eat. And if you know anything about them, they must be led to quiet streams, places where the water is not overly turbulent. Is that not what the Lord does for us? I was listening to Janet this morning as she was praying before service, and she was talking about, Lord, thank you for the luxury that you have blessed us with in the place that we live. Now, it may not always feel luxurious, especially as you look at the bank account and go, ooh, you know. But you know what? There is something about the gratitude for what God has provided, for what the hand of the Lord has given, that will go a long way in changing our mindset. Lord, thank you for provision. He is still the Lord that provides, even to our physical needs. The psalmist goes on to say, he refreshes my soul. It's not just your body that needs to be fed. Okay, although that seems to be the feeding that we're most interested in. Right? Right? That's why I've never seen so much weight loss stuff coming up in my life. There's a commercial for the latest keto craze, and the next minute there's a commercial for Burger King. I mean, these two things do not go together, but oh, there we go. And so we've got all of this that we're obsessed with the physical provision, and God is faithful to provide that. But every once in a while, if you're paying attention, you will recognize that your soul becomes just a little bit sluggish. Am I the only one who's had that experience? Yeah, no. I didn't think I was. That sluggishness of soul, that need for refreshing. And it is the Lord who steps in to bring that refreshing. I tell you, when I was in Kauai, I found a spot under a tree right by the shore. And that was my spot to meet with God on a daily basis. And there was something about looking out. Listen, if your soul needs restoring, get in touch with the natural world. Do yourself a favor. Get out of the house. Stop sorting through paperwork. Stop scrubbing floors. Stop watching TV. Get out. We live on the California coastline, one of the most beautiful coastlines on the planet. Get out and just look at that ocean. And recognize that while people will spend millions to live by that ocean, your Father has created and owns that ocean. Perspective is a wonderful thing. It goes far toward the restoration of your soul. Sometimes your soul just gets tired and needs to be restored. It's something that we need and that the Lord provides. David says he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Will you learn to take direction from the Lord? Even if it doesn't look like he knows where you're going. But God, I've got it planned out for here, here, and here. Look, this is easy. It's a straight path. He says, I know. We're going this way. It's like the labyrinth. Remember the labyrinth that we've talked about before? It's a medieval a devotional device. It looks like a maze, but it's not a maze because you cannot get lost in it. And in the center of the labyrinth is the cross. And you start out on the path, and at certain points in that path, you're close enough to the cross to touch it. But in different points along that same path, you're so far away, you feel like you'll never get back. But the point is to stay on the path so that you will eventually end up where you belong, and that is at the foot of the cross. you can't get lost. Sometimes you may feel lost. Sometimes you may feel like you don't know where you're going and you don't know what to turn and where to turn and you don't want know what to do next. And that is when the cry of Lord, lead me, serves you well. And all you have to do is be willing to stay on path. Don't sit down. Please don't turn back. He will lead you in the right path, and he will do so for his name's sake. I believe it was Job who said, God, you'll get no glory out of me from the grave. Right? God's not going to get any glory from people who have just died along the way. But for his name's sake, for his righteousness' sake, for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, he will lead you. He will order your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, the Bible tells us. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, wait a minute. Lord, I thought you were leading me. How in the world did I end up in the darkest valley? I was following you. I was walking with you. You said you would lead me, and now it's pitch black. Don't sweat it. I know it's dark. David said, even through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. We learn to be afraid of the dark at a very young age, do we not? I hated the dark as a little kid. I hated the dark because I didn't know what was out there. And of course, when you don't know what's out there, what happens? Your imagination runs wild. It runs amok. I can't see. I can only imagine all the monsters hiding under my bed and the werewolf in my closet and Dracula's going to fly through my window. You know how kids are. You know how we are. You know. Dark valleys are frightening places. But I don't have to be afraid of anything that is lurking in the shadow. Why? For you are with me. The promise of his peace, protection, and the comfort of his presence is what the shepherd provides. Peace, comfort, protection. Your rod and your staff, you stand there, God, ready to defend me. Even if I don't see the evil coming my way, I don't have to be afraid of it. Because you, Lord, are my shepherd. And I will lack nothing. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't know how many of you have may have read this book, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Have you ever read it? If you haven't, read it. It's a good read. I want to say the author is Keller, but you can find the book. It's a quick read. It's less than an afternoon's reading. And in Keller's book, the author has some experience as a shepherd. So he is able to bring that experience to his understanding of this psalm. And he talks about how when sheep go to eat, they don't always know what is poisonous and what is not. It is up to the shepherd, the one who cares for those sheep, to get out there and to prepare a cleared path so that they can eat only that which is good for them and not consume that which would be detrimental. Loved ones, there is an enemy of your soul, in case you hadn't heard. And if you think for 1 minute that he is going to allow you to walk before the Lord, to conduct your life in a godly way, to do his will unimpeded, you are dreaming. But even where the enemy has set snares and traps and poisoned things, I will still feast. There will still be a feast for me because the shepherd has prepared itself. I can sit and I can eat, and the enemy will just look on. There'll be nothing that enemies can do against you. No weapon formed against you will prosper, because the Lord is your shepherd, and you lack nothing. I love this part. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. In the Old Testament, oil represented the anointing of God's Spirit. And I don't know if you realize, but the cup or wine represents the joy that that anointing brings. There is a promise of Holy Spirit anointing and accompanying joy for those who are the shepherds. The Holy Spirit of God resting on your life, healing your body, restoring your soul, encouraging you where there has been discouragement. And most importantly, empowering you to take this gospel to the nations. We don't do that because it's a good idea. We do that, number one, because Jesus commanded it. And number two, because he said we need help in the doing, and therefore I'm sending my Spirit to you. It is the Spirit that empowers you and I for ministry. And I don't care what that ministry looks like. Whether you are standing behind the sacred desk, or you are standing at the keyboard, or if you are back here with the babies, or if you are making repairs on the church building, you will do that with the same covering, the same anointing of a prophet, because of that anointing that is promised to us whom belong to the Lord. I'm almost done. Surely your goodness and your love, that word love is that chesed word we've talked about before, your mercy will follow me. And this is not some timid, quiet following, you know, there you are out front and goodness and mercy, it just kind of falling back a little bit and just kind of checking out where you're going. No, the word there in the Hebrew is much stronger than that. It is pursuit. The goodness and mercies of God will run you down. I like that. They are in hot pursuit of you, and so the Lord is out in front leading you. His goodness and mercy are behind you, running you down. Who would not want to live a life like this? I do. These are the promises that he made me as a little girl. Little bitty old thing. Hiding under the bed to keep him from reciting the 23rd Psalm for Aunt Dutch when she came back. But there are promises that are yes and amen. Surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me, will pursue me all the days of my life. It is a life covered by his covenant. Chesed is a covenant word. It is the promise of God built in to covenant. It's what God speaks over you. It is what he establishes, the agreement, the relationship he establishes between he and us. And we are covered by that covenant. We are kept by that covenant. And it's not a covenant that wears out. It covers us, David says, all the days of our lives. And I will dwell. I will make my abode in God's house now and forevermore. Jesus said of himself that he is a good shepherd. He knows the sheep know him, but most importantly because he has laid down his life for the sheep. In that same John 10, Jesus makes a very bold statement. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I'm going to take it up again. Now, it looks like we're family in here this morning, but I put it out there just in case. If you don't know the shepherd, you can. So easy. And there are all kinds of people in this room right now who are experts in birthing babies into the kingdom. All you have to do is let us know. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for being a good God, a good father, and a good shepherd. Lord, today we recommit our lives to you. We resubmit to your sovereignty so that we might live in this life a life that is covered by your covenant and in which we lack nothing. Thank you for your provision, your protection, your guidance, your comfort, your peace, your spirit. We give the rest of this day to you and the rest of our time together. Be glorified in us and among us, we pray, so that all who see us will desire what it is that we have and that we can share it with them. These things we ask today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.